Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello, health junkies. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today we're going to talk about, can artificial sugars cause a leaky gut? So there's been a lot of posts lately out in the universe about artificial sweeteners, and are they good? Are they bad? What's the deal? How much can we tolerate? And honestly, what I'm starting to see, and I've saw it in myself, is that these artificial sweeteners, even at a little amount a day, can really wreak havoc on your gut. One of the things in particular I've noticed between myself and some of my patients is that if you get on the sugar-free gum kick, and say you're doing Orbit, or maybe you're doing one of the other ones out there, you notice that you almost have to have more gum. It's a weird concept. And then you start to notice that your breath just smells funny. And it's this kind of weird concept. And when I look into it, it kind of makes sense. So these artificial sweeteners, we found research that they disrupt your gut bugs. Well, I can't help but think that they might also disrupt your bugs in your mouth. So your oral good bugs. And especially since there's this odd connection that I see over and over again where folks are like, yeah, my breath's pretty bad. And then I'm like, okay, what kind of, do you have gums or using mints? And oftentimes they're like, yeah, I use those sugar-free mints or the sugar-free gums. And then I have folks talking about drinking diet sodas or things of that nature. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a connection here. So the research is really what I'm going off of. Yes, I see what's happening in patients, and then I like to combine things together. But if you've got a habit of diet soda, and you've got a habit of sugar-free gum, and you've got chronic diarrhea, or you've got chronic aches and pains in the guts, or you're noticing constipation, or any type of gut issues, chances are it's these artificial sugars. And one of the things that I like to get across to folks is that, unfortunately, we are marketed so crazily out there in the universe about, oh, try Truvia, try Puvia, try this, try that. And it makes it sound like the stevia is this amazing product. Well, guess what? Most of the stevia on the market, unless you have the true leaf that's green and powdered, you're getting a chemical product. So up until probably about a year ago, I didn't do my research on Truvia or Purvia. I just kind of was like, okay, stevia, this is interesting. I don't know what to do with it. You know, let me try it. I thought it was kind of gross, the bitter taste afterwards, but I kind of fell into the whole marketing thing and thought, okay, maybe stevia is better. But I also didn't do my research. So for example, Truvia is made of erythritol, which is a sugar alcohol. It's also made with Rebiana, which is a manufactured, refined form of stevia. It's no different than refined sugar. It's refined, it's processed. And our bodies, if you've listened to any of my podcasts before, our bodies do not respond to chemically altered items. And this is another case in which I've got a lot of folks trying to lose weight or trying not to have sugar, and they're doing keto diets or they're trying to go low carb. And unfortunately, they're going a little backwards. And we're going, what's going on with the gut? Well, Truvia and Purvia have some issues. So interestingly enough, Truvia is owned by Coca-Cola and Cargill. If anyone grew up in the Midwest, Cargill signs are everywhere as the seed companies for corn. And that's interesting. Something to think about. Truvia also has natural flavors in it. And natural flavors, honestly, we have no idea really what a natural flavor is. It could be as natural as plastic. And these companies don't have to tell you what's in a natural flavor. It's a trade secret. And sometimes if you get into the nitty-gritty of natural flavors, when you talk to a food scientist, what you're going to find is that there might be 80 to 100 chemical components to a natural flavor. The other interesting thing about natural flavors is that they can trick us into almost becoming addicted to something because the flavor can be so strong. I have a product that I just found and I'm still investigating it, so I'm not going to rat them out, but they have a blueberry natural flavor and it is a strong blueberry flavor. My husband loves blueberry now. He's addicted to those things and you wonder why. So it's some type of chemical that tastes like blueberry but really isn't. You'd be surprised if you even Google banana natural flavor. It ends up being a weird chemical name. So these companies are smart and food scientists are extremely smart, but also their goal is to make things taste almost like the real thing and trick us in a sense. Obviously, I'm not trying to rat out food scientists. It's a very cool field, but it's also can be toxic because these are chemicals. They're not natural flavors because we think, oh, let's extract the oil from blueberry. Let's think about that for a minute. How much oil do you think there actually is in a blueberry? If you're thinking not so much, yeah, you're pretty much right. So something to keep in mind there about these natural flavors, because natural flavors could be as natural as freaking plastic. And I'm not kidding. That's crazy. So going back to these artificial sweeteners, Purvia. Guess who owns that? Pepsi, combined with the Whole Earth Sweetener Company. So you've got Coca-Cola and Pepsi behind stevia products. What does that tell you? Yeah. So Purvia is a combination of dextrose, cellulose powder, and you guessed it, natural flavors combined with the stevia, which is not your natural stevia. It is a refined product. That's why that product is white. That's why both Purvia and Purvia are white in color. That's not what stevia looks like naturally. Stevia is green. So, interestingly enough, dextrose. What does dextrose come from? Corn. Anybody out there have a corn sensitivity? Well, guess what? If you take any of these artificial sweeteners, that Purvia or Purvia, you're going to have some issues, and in particular, Purvia because of the dextrose. There's also cellulose powder. We can't digest cellulose. Humans just can't digest it, and so you either need really good gut bugs to help you with that, or you need to be taking a plant enzyme that helps you to break down cellulose. So we've got some issues there, and if you have chronic gut issues, you better get rid of these suckers. Now, the other big issue with dextrose and corn-based fillers is that corn is one of our most genetically modified foods in the universe. And unfortunately, our guts don't like genetic modification of foods. It doesn't look what like corn should, that molecule of corn. And so the gut freaks out, it irritates it, and guess what? It's all separated apart. Now we have a leaky gut picture. So maybe you've been like, okay, I'm a corn-free diet. I'm not doing any tortilla chips. I'm not doing any tortillas, but I still kind of feel like crap, or maybe I feel better, but I'm not feeling, 100%. Well, guess what? You're contaminating yourself every day if you're using Purvia. You're also possibly contaminating yourself every day if you are doing some of the more standard sugar replacement products, because a lot of people have gone in terms of, I'm gonna have stevia and not do Splenda, not do Equal and Sweet and Low. But unfortunately, marketing is crazy and we've got some issues here. Swerve, this is a brand new company in the last year or so that's kind of come out, or I shouldn't say it's brand new, but it's new enough that some folks haven't heard of it yet. And Swerve is a combination of erythritol, which is a sugar alcohol, and natural flavors. Like I mentioned before, we don't know what those natural flavors are. Erythritol is a sugar alcohol that can cause some serious diarrhea. And high enough amounts, and research says it has to be a certain amount, but guess what? I have a lot of patients, chronic diarrhea. I ask them if they're using a sugar alternative, and guess what? There's 9 times out of 10, erythritol might be involved, and so something to keep in mind there. And erythritol is in a lot of the Atkins products that are marketed as being low carb. They're in a lot of the sugar-free chocolates and candies out there. So if you have chronic diarrhea, look into what is added to your food. So Swerve is a product that I also recommend. It's deceiving. It's got erythritol and it's got natural flavors, and we don't know what the heck those guys are. Now, another one that I have even mentioned in the past as being somewhat of an okay alternative, but I'm going to retract my statement in that stevia in the raw. Stevia in the raw is a combination of dextrose, so corn, and erythritol, the sugar alcohol, also made from corn, by the way, and genetically modified. And then we've got stevia rebiana, which is the chemically altered extract of the stevia plant. So stevia in the raw is white and fluffy, and unfortunately, it's a combination of a bunch of GMOs and not even real stevia. So even that is a problem. So these guys are kind of all the rage, and a lot of folks are falling into the hype that these types of things are going to keep them from gaining weight and being, you know, they're going to keep them thin, and you're going to be on these low carb, you know, you're going to keep yourself ketotic, or you're going to be in the low carb stage. But guess what? At the same time, maybe you're not boosting your blood sugar. Maybe you are. We'll talk about that in a minute, but you're ruining your gut lining. Another thing to keep in mind about this stuff is pretty much every single one of these artificial sweeteners have dextrose in them. And like I mentioned before, we're looking at GMO corn, and corn is the worst. So for example, Splenda is 95% dextrose. So that is corn sugar, and maltodextrin, also corn sugar. Now, the crazy thing about Splenda is it's made by replacing hydrogen oxygen groups on a sucrose, on your table sugar molecule. So basically you're taking the natural sugar form and twisting it. This is extremely, I would say, detrimental for the body, because once the body gets that in, it doesn't know what to do with it, because it looks like a molecule of sugar that's completely twisted from the normal state. And so this confuses your gut. Now, Equal, those blue packets, those contain dextrose with maltodextrin, aspartame, sulfame, potassium. Now you've got GMO corn combined with some really toxic stuff. Aspartame is a problem. Aspartame has been researched and connected to cancer. Not a good thing. Ugh, gosh, my goodness. This one's even worse than the Splenda. Sweet and low. This guy's that pink packet. This is primarily made of dextrose and saccharin, and it's also got cream of tartar in it. Cream of tartar is a byproduct of making wine. It's the evaporated product. So you evaporate water from wine and you filter it out and you get the cream of tartar. Now, cream of tartar in and of itself isn't horrible. It's potassium bitartrate, but you've got a combination with sweet and low of saccharin, which has been linked to cancer, and then you've got the genetically modified corn dextrose. And so you've got a combination of items here, that saccharin and dextrose being really big gut irritants, and potassium bitartrate. We don't really know what that does. And so we know in baking it helps with products, but in the case of the gut lining, I don't know. I think the jury's still out. Potassium is one of our electrolytes. It does have a case in which it will affect the nervous system signaling. So I don't know. Something to think about there. At this point, I would avoid those ones all like the plague, just because of the genetically modified corn. Now, there's two more here that I haven't talked about: agave syrup and xylitol. Agave syrup or agave nectar, a lot of folks in the natural world say, oh, it's not that bad. It doesn't have the gut bug effect. It doesn't kill our gut bugs. It doesn't alter their status. Well, it's still unfortunately heated up to get to the level of high fructose corn syrup. So if agave nectar is at the same level of high fructose corn syrup, what does that do to our blood sugar? It fast metabolizes and brings our blood sugar up. Now, there's a lot of arguments saying that agave doesn't do that. However, if it's much in chemical molecules compared, if it's very similar to high fructose corn syrup, well, it's going to raise your blood sugar. Now I've tested it on myself and patients, and blood sugar goes up. Does it go up as fast as having high fructose corn syrup? No, it takes a little bit longer, but it still causes blood sugar to go up. And even some of the folks out there who are gut bug specialists are like, oh, agave syrup's not so bad. Agave nectar's not so bad. Yeah, it's not so bad because it's not changing the amount of good to bad gut bugs because it's not necessarily irritating the gut, but it is still going to be much like fructose and have an effect on blood sugar. So I wouldn't tout it per se as being the best option. And pretty much I would say, you know, much like sugar, much like cane sugar, use in moderation. Now, xylitol is one that I haven't talked about. Xylitol is a sugar alcohol. It comes from birch trees, but it can also be made from a plant fiber called xylan and turned into xylitol. Now, the interesting thing about xylitol is that it's been researched to help with preventing cavities and helping to balance the good to bad bacteria in the mouth. So a lot of dentists will tout xylitol as being an amazing mouthwash and being something that you want if you're going to use mints or if you're going to chew gum. Now, I can sort of agree with that. I can say, okay, that works. But here's my hang up on this. Xylitol in higher amounts causes diarrhea, much like its other sugar alcohol friend, erythritol. And xylitol is also extremely toxic to dogs because it boosts insulin levels to a toxic level. Well, humans aren't too far off from dogs. We're pretty similar. And so my thought in this case is, okay, there's not been any connection to xylitol being toxic in humans. However, it still makes me a little concerned. So I guess my point here would be, don't overdo it with xylitol. I think it could be a better option. But if you have any gut issues, if you have chronic diarrhea and you can't figure out why, you have chronic pain in your abdomen, you can't figure out why, gas, bloating, etc., I would ditch all of these artificial sweeteners and see how it goes. Because I do think that getting all of the possibilities of irritation out is huge. And here's why. So how do these artificial sugars and sweeteners really mess with us? Well, a couple different things. The corn-based fillers, as I already mentioned, so the dextrose, this disrupts your gut flora, so your good gut bugs. And it also messes with, just flat out irritates your gut lining. And then corn, like I mentioned before, being genetically modified, our body doesn't know what to do with it. The cells separate apart because the molecules sit there. They don't know what to, you know, the body doesn't know what to do. So it's kind of hanging out, kind of in limbo. And then we get the irritation and then we get leaky gut. Now, in terms of the gut flora issues, we have two families that all of our gut bugs kind of stem from. So if you imagine it as being like the godfather families, and we've got two big godfather families. One is the Firmicutes and one is the Bacteroidetes. Now, what happens in this case is that we want to have a decent amount of these two. But in particular, we want more of a certain type of these. We really want the Bacteroidetes and not as many of the Firmicutes. And what this means is having a better balance between those two will help us to not be blocking our leptin from being produced. Because if we mess with our gut bacteria, and we shift them off, and so we have more Firmicutes than we do Bacteroidetes, we get more of a disinhibited appetite. We crave things, we go after certain foods more. And so, of course, if you have an artificial sweetener, you might have noticed that with that artificial sweetener that, you know, that Diet Coke tasted really good and maybe you want another one. It almost like is like crack, right? You get this like addiction to it. I have not had people addicted to things as much as Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I used to say I didn't know what it is, but I think it might be this component right here, that their gut bugs are shifted by having so much of that artificial sweetener that they almost have to keep it going because their gut bugs now have caused issues in that department. Now, what do we do about that? Well, obviously, the number one thing is to get off of these artificial sweeteners, because if these artificial sweeteners mess with your gut bugs and they cause you to be more hungry and increase your appetite because they're blocking your ability to make leptin, that's a problem. Now, the other big thing that these bugs do is they disrupt these artificial sweeteners do is they disrupt your good gut bug balance. Our beneficial bacteria in our gut help us to balance our blood sugar. And if we don't have sufficient amounts of the good gut bugs, we end up increasing our blood sugar. And what I've seen consistently is when folks use things such as stevia, when they use even, you know, Purevia, Truvia, or Splenda Equal, etc., they test their blood sugar an hour after meal and they're like, oh, I'm good. Because nobody's testing 4 to 5 hours after. It's a delayed increase in the blood sugar. It's because those gut bugs have to go, oh, okay, what's this molecule? I don't know what to do with it. Boom, blood sugar starts to go up. There's a direct connection there, and it's a big issue. Now, the other big component about these artificial sweeteners is they're extra sweet. And so it just keeps that sweet tooth going, and it's almost like you need more to get that hit for the brain. And really what it is that dopamine, serotonin kind of hit. Because think about it, what are we going to put these artificial sweeteners in for the most part? A lot of us are using a whole bunch of them in our almond flour tarts, right? We're like, oh, I'm using almond flour, I'm low carb, and I'm using my artificial sweetener. Well, what are you doing here? You're basically substituting one sweet for basically an artificial type of sweet that's going to keep you back, coming back for more and more. So you're creating a monster is what I'm saying here. Might as well just go and eat the real deal and call it a day and use cane sugar. And I know I said sugar and using cane sugar. If you are at all in the low carb world, honestly, my position is that it's much better to just limit your sweets altogether versus try to alter them to the point where you've got more Frankenfood. I have a lot of folks in my practice who are eating clean and then they're using Splenda or artificial sweeteners to make their sweet treats and telling me that they're eating low carb and eating clean. That's not low carb and eating clean. That's screwing up your gut and really creating more of a monster. And this is why a lot of people do not lose weight on low carb diets or ketogenic diets. It's because they're disrupting their gut bacteria. Now, I understand we as humans have our sweet cravings and we have those types of habits. One of the best ways to go about that is to eat things closest to nature. We have a culture now of being terrified of fruit. Yes, fruit has fructose. It's not genetically modified high fructose corn syrup. It's fruit and our bodies know what to do with it. Use the fruits, use things that are closest to nature to help curb your sweet cravings versus trying to make cookies out of almond flour and putting in stevia that's not stevia in the raw, that is stevia in the raw, or using Splenda or something of that nature. Just keep your foods closest to nature and your gut's going to love you so much better. So there's that. Now, the other big thing is a lot of folks have some serious issues in terms of being able to lose fat and lose weight. And I've mentioned it just a little bit, but oftentimes there's this mental connection to I'm barely eating, I've got my low carb diet, and either A, my gut is not doing any better, I'm having gut issues, or B, my scale isn't moving. I don't feel like my low-carb keto diet's working for me. And the big answer here in this case is that It's probably because your gut bugs are irritated. And like I had mentioned before, there's that. And the other thing is that leptin is being altered. You're basically blocking your ability to curb your appetite. And so if you're using these artificial sweeteners, it makes it even harder for you to be able to control your sweet desires and to be able to control yourself when you're eating one of these sweets. So in the moment, you might eat more than you normally would. And in, you know, the course of the day, you might be craving things more than you normally would if you didn't have these sweeteners that also had the addictive natural flavors, in addition to the ability to mess with your gut bacteria. So, big takeaway from today's podcast is that if you are struggling with gut issues, chronic gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, and perhaps you're also trying to lose weight and that's why you're using these artificial sweeteners, or perhaps you are diabetic or pre-diabetic and you're trying to use these artificial sweeteners to still enjoy the sweet treats that you love, I'm going to be honest with you. It's more about just going back to nature and keeping things closest to nature and just enjoy your sweet treats for what they are. Because one of the biggest things to think about here is we've got a ketotic diet, so the ketosis diet or the low carb diets. And what we're doing is we're using nut flours, we're using fat bombs, if you've heard of those, we're using coconut oil, all of these higher fat items combined with these supposed, you know, zero calorie sweeteners. And what we're doing is we bring in these zero calorie sweeteners in our treats and we eat the treats and we disrupt our gut bug bacteria. And now we're causing our bodies to store that fat. We're causing our bodies to become more irritated. We're causing our bodies to create more cellulite. And the reason being is because these artificial sweeteners aren't doing it for you. They're messing with your body's ability to metabolize these foods. And so that's why if you have gut issues, and even if you don't have gut issues, if you're using these artificial sweeteners and you're not getting results, this is what's happening. And compound it with the whole paleo fad of using so many nut flours. Nut flours are high in fat, they're high in calories, and now you mess with your gut, you're going to want more of those almond flour cookies. And you're also going to store all that fat because you irritated your body. So the takeaway here is not that the paleo craze is bad, and it's not that, you know, these keto fat bombs, so your coconut oil and coconut milk and, you know, little cream and whipped cream things are bad, or avocado ice cream with your artificial sweeteners are bad in terms of the concept of what's underlying it. But it's once you add the artificial sweetener, you've done ruined it. And so the idea here is just go get some freaking cane sugar, organic, and just use that. Your body knows what to do with that. Or get some raw honey, or get some dates, or get some unsulfured raisins even, or use 100% pure natural fruit juice. And by that I mean, I hate the word natural. It doesn't, natural is plastic. You just get your real fruit juice, like use your juicer and put that into whatever you're making. Because honestly, all of these Frankenfood artificial sweeteners are totally ruining your gut. They're ruining your gut bacteria. They could also be blocking the probiotics that you're using. They could be basically wiping out your beneficial bacteria. So now you're wasting money on your probiotic supplements. And it's not a good thing. So I'm going to jump off my soapbox about that. I have given you all the information in terms of the most popular artificial sweeteners out there. I know that I've probably missed a few because there's a bunch of them. But the whole point here of this podcast is really to get you thinking about what is in these sweeteners and why you might still have gut issues or why you might not be losing weight. And this could be a big, big component of what's going on for you. So what do we do about it? Well, like I had said, raw honey, cane sugar, straight up pure cane sugar. You could also use blackstrap molasses. These are closest to nature items that are important for us to think about because they've been demonized in terms of all sweets and honey and this and that. Raw honey, straight from a beehive, go to your local farmer's market and grab some of it. These kind of things are your closest to nature sweeteners. If it's closest to nature, it's going to help you out big time. I am a fan of using dates or unsulfured, unextra sweetened dry fruit. So dry your own fruit if you have a dehydrator. Or get unsulfured, unsugared, so no added sugar, dried fruit, and puree that up and make your own Larabars, make your own treats with that. Go for the energy bites where you've got nuts and seeds blended up with the dried fruit, and that's going to get you a lot further. Yes, it's going to raise your blood sugar a little bit, but in the long run, you're not going to be damaging your gut and causing a addiction kind of factor in terms of the need for more and more and more. And surprisingly enough, a lot of people, when they switch from using artificial sweeteners, they notice their breath doesn't get bad. They don't have that need to have to always have mints or gum on hand. And they also will notice that digestive system improves and those cravings for sweeter and sweeter items and more of them stops. So I have some lovely information on my podcast notes in terms of more information on this topic. I have the research there in terms of how Splenda alters your gut microflora, and that's what I was kind of talking about in terms of the switches between the two big sweetener, the two big godfathers of your gut bacteria, the Bacteroidetes and their Firmicutes. Check out that research. Also, I've got a great article by Scientific American that talks about this and a good breakdown on xylitol and by the authoritynutrition.com, great website to give you some straight line information on pros and cons of all the different nutrients and the trends out there in the nutrition world. Also, I did put Dr. Osborne's artificial sweeteners toxic effects blog that kind of got this started for me because he's the one that's mentioning agave syrup, and there's a great debate in my office about that. And I think it's important to take a look at what he's posted in there because he's mentioning all of the different effects that you can have from artificial sweeteners. And I'm focusing just on the gut in this podcast, but there are a ton of other things, such as migraines, that could be directly related to artificial sweeteners, fatigue too. So I could go on for hours about this. I'm really passionate about trying to explain to folks that these artificial sweeteners are not good, and they totally trashed my gut. Once I figured out that connection and then started doing the research, I have improved my gut function 200-fold and definitely have seen a lot of great results with my patients. So get out there, take a look at my notes and get some more information for yourself to make a wise decision on whether to continue with your artificial sweeteners or not. Leave some comments below for me. Love to hear from you. This has been another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the join group button on our website at drjkrausend.com.